Today on Real Radio.
Everywhere around the world, blood is the international, universal, sacred offering to atone for sin in religions around the world.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, we continue our Passion Week series by Pastor Jack. We're calling it Finding Jesus in Your Everyday World. It's a series that focuses on the historical events surrounding the death, burial, and resurrection of Israel's Messiah, our Lord. We've already looked at a number of messianic prophecies fulfilled by Jesus of Nazareth. Now, in the process, we've learned more about the divine requirement of blood atonement and why Israel's Messiah was introduced as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But of course, it doesn't end there. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now taking a look at one of the most mind-boggling events in all of human history in a presentation called Resurrection Sunday.
Matthew chapter 28, go there and put your finger in Matthew chapter 28, and then go over to Luke 24. Matthew 28, Luke 24. And we will do a montage or an overlay of these two resurrection morning accounts. But out of that, from that, we're going to be making declaration this morning. The message today is entitled, The Lord Is. And you can fill in that blank, The Lord Is. But listen, you got to have the right answers to this. It's important this morning that your answers to the Lord is, as you fill that in, a biblical answer. It's all important. You just can't make it up. The Lord is not your Santa Claus, for example. I can say this because some angel baseball players go here, so I'll pick on the Dodgers. The Lord is not the big Dodger in the sky, as you've heard said on TV. The Lord is, and we're going to be looking at some of those things of who and what He is. And the exciting thing about it, church, is this, that as I go down this list, guess what? If we would have combined first service, this service, and third service, next Wednesday service, for that matter, I don't know how many services we would have to cover who the Lord is. Because it just goes on and on as to who He is. And I'm wondering this morning how much of Him we know. The Lord is, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, now after the Sabbath, that is after Saturday, as the first day of the week began to dawn, that Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Why? For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. What a sassy angel. I like that. Rolls back the stone and sits on it. Maybe he has a toothpick in his mouth. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards, that is the Roman guards, those that had been ordered by the Roman government to stand guard over that tomb of Jesus, the guards shook for fear and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus whom was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Verse 8. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." And so they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. What a sight. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren, I go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Luke 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining apparel. Obviously, two heavenly beings appeared. Verse 5, Luke 24. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" I think that's an amazing question to ask. What are you ladies doing here? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." You know what is awesome about this account as Christians this morning? No matter what's going on in the world, and as you probably know by now, the world is becoming much more anti-Christian. And that's okay. I want you to know, I'm not being sarcastic about it. That's all right. The Bible says these days would come upon us. You know what's awesome about this morning? You and I had the freedom to gather here today in safety as believers. But all around the world, believers have been meeting either publicly or secretly and rejoicing over the fact that there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem, that according to the scripture, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that the Old Testament prophets foretold that very fact, that you and I today are not Christians because it feels good. We're not Christians today because we've joined some church. We're not Christians today because it's a nice day. We are Christians today because we have been absolutely persuaded by the facts that Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures, has been risen from the dead. And when you grab your Bible and you go from Genesis to Revelation, it is all about one central figure, not two, not three, not five, one. It's all about Jesus. You ever think about that? That this Bible that covers thousands of years of time and introduces us to eternity, it's all about Jesus. Having just come back from Israel, I'm always reminded and in a strange way refreshed because as I've told you guys before, everywhere in the world, when people want to cuss, you may not understand their language, but when they cuss, they'll use the name Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And I heard some Jews the other day cursing, and the only thing I understood was Jesus. His name is a curse word in the earth. But I got to tell you, on resurrection morning, there's nobody that ain't got the message we got as the resurrected Savior. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And listen, people who don't understand that get upset about that. And the Old Testament said that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of Israel and the world, would be eternal. He would come into the world as a human being, the Bible says. The Bible says that he would never have a beginning. He would never have an ending. But he would clothe himself in human skin. Isn't that amazing? Some people today might say, "Well, I can't believe the gospel." Listen, I had somebody tell me this last week. "I can't believe the gospel because how could God come into the earth and become a human being?" Well, let me ask you this. All around the world, there's animal sacrifices. Were you here on Friday? For those of you who were not here, I had a lamb, a real lamb, and I had a real basin, stainless steel basin with a real knife. And, well, anyway, everywhere around the world, blood is the international, universal, sacred offering to atone for sin in religions around the world. And people today say, "Well, how can God come down and walk among men and then be offered up on a cross and associate like that with human beings?" Well, let me tell you something. As we would sacrifice an animal, how much do you associate with that animal? You have four legs? Do you sleep in a pen? I mean, some of you may sleep in a pen, I don't know. But you don't have four legs. All of that was a foreshadow of the coming Christ that would come into the world and die for our sins. And the Bible says that's exactly what would happen. And we are not following some conjured up idea. No, all those things pointed to the coming Christ. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came in the very one, the very holy, the very pure Son of God, The Bible tells us, as you well know in Proverbs 30, verse 4, that God is the one who inhabits eternity. He binds up nature in his hands and in his fist, his robe. And he's asked us this all eternal question. He says, what is my name and what is the name of my son, if you can tell me? And when we as Christians hear that on a day like this, we can jump up and down and say, we know his name. Yeshua, Jesus, the Savior of the world. He is the Christ. Yes, his name is cursed. Yes, his name is blasphemed among the world, but I can also tell you his name is praised and loved and adored, and his name is exalted and lifted up, because the Bible says that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved than the name Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if we believe that God raised Christ from the dead and confess that truth with our mouths, we will be saved. The Bible says, look unto the Lord and be saved. And so this morning, I'm going to just go along, and I don't know how far I'm going to get. I will end on time, but I want you to know when I end on time, I'm not finished. I just want you to know that. I will end on time. But my God is so great that he can come down from heaven and walk among men and show us the way. My God is so great that he can create Adam and Eve and walk and commune with them in the cool of the garden. My God is so great that he can appear and speak to Joshua just before the great battle. My God is so great that he can appear and speak to Abraham. And my God, according to the Bible, came in the form of a human being. The Bible says Jesus Christ became our Passover that we might experience the righteousness of God. Listen, I love you. I don't say this to insult you, but the Bible says that you cannot be saved unless you're a sinner. That's why Christ is the Savior. And you might say, I can't believe I got dressed up to come here for you to tell me I'm a sinner. How dare you? Listen, I'll say it again. There is no heaven without being saved. You got to be lost before you can be found. There is no such thing as a Savior unless you're a sinner. And if you're honest, you will confess with me that we've not always had the most pure thoughts. Boy, is that putting it mildly. We have not always done the right thing. We have not always loved God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. We have had thoughts of temptations, of wickedness, of sexual immorality, of pride, of violence, of anger. You name it. That's why Christ came, to die for us, because he loves us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Number one, the Lord is our shepherd. One of the most famous verses of all the Bible, in Psalm 23, David writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. Listen to this psalmist write about his God. And my challenge is, do you know him like this? He restores my soul. Does your soul need restoring? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's an awesome statement. It means you don't work your way to heaven. Because he loves you and you yield to him, he will do the work in you. He does it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's good news for some of you. Eventually, it will be good news for all of us. The valley of death is simply a shadow. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's favor will be upon you if you make Christ your Lord. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, he is our shepherd. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And another, by the way, he says, and another shepherd they will not follow. There's so many cults in the world, so many false religions. And some of you, I've spoken with you, some of you have come out of those things. And your question to me is more of a comment or an analysis of your own experience. You say to me, how could I have ever been so messed up? Once Christ rescues you and brings you to his truth, He's a shepherd. We saw in Israel, in the Judean wilderness and in other places, the shepherds leading their flocks. It was amazing. From one area of pasture green to the other. Jesus says, I'm the shepherd. The Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Our righteousness. Listen, everyone, listen. The Bible says that by the works of the law, by the keeping of the law, shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. The Bible says that God is our righteousness. That who he is, he imparts to those who come to him. Isn't that an amazing thing? If given the opportunity, would you come to Christ? If given the opportunity, based upon what God's Bible says, would you say, I want my sins forgiven and I want God to declare me righteous? Now, I know that you and I would never look at one another righteous according to our life experience. We know. I mean, I've seen some of you drive. In fact, I saw one of you park here this morning. That was quite scary, just parking. And if you knew me, you would not say, or you would not declare me righteous if you knew my life. You say, what are you confessing? Well, nothing to your ears. But here I am speaking to you, and I've been declared righteous by God. Isn't it strange? But listen, you're sitting here right now, and you've been declared righteous by God also. I mean, what if everybody knew what you knew about you? And yet God says, by your faith in Jesus Christ, he declares you righteous. It's a transaction that he does. He's our righteousness. The God of the Bible exposes to us, to mankind, his righteousness. He gives the Ten Commandments that are perfect. And before they can even be presented before the people, they're broken because man is a sinner. And God reaches down and announces, I'm your righteousness. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23:6, in his days Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness. And you might say today, if you're a sharp Bible student, you might say, well, that's what the prophet says about the nation of Israel someday, that when Christ returns in the millennial kingdom, he will declare Israel righteous. That's true, and you are correct. But listen, for those of us who are Gentiles, non-Jews, listen to this. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering of our sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God through Christ. And all God's people should say amen to that. Is that an awesome thing? God is going to declare his nation when he comes back, and he's coming back. He's going to declare those who trust in him out of Israel, out of Judah, righteous, and the Bible speaks about that. But what about us today? God says to the entire Gentile world, the nations of the world, what are you today? If you're not Jewish, what are you today? I'm Portuguese. Portuguese, German. Okay, let me tell you, Portuguese, German, that's a lot of temper put into one, a lot of passion put into one thing. German's kind of subdued, but it's the Portuguese part. What are you? Well, you know, you have to forgive my French, but no, you don't get a pass because you're French. Well, you know what? It's my Irish coming out. No, not because you're Irish either. Listen, the Bible says that we all need Christ as our Savior. There's no excuses in that. He is our righteousness. Next, he's our peace. The Lord is our shalom. He is our peace. Throughout the Old Testament, the Bible announces the peace of God, the shalom of God. In my opinion, there's a passage of Scripture that just absolutely is glorious. And Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me. Listen to this. This is God speaking. God says, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That word rest means to repose. Now, that's an old English word. We don't know much about that word repose. We should repose more. Repose is more of a kind of like how you eat in the Middle East. You know, we have our traditional colonial type Western European tables. You know our tables that we have at home? You pull up and you sit down like that, and your you're still, you know, a couple feet off the ground when you're like that. Not in the Middle East. The table's about 12 to 18 inches off the ground, and you repose. You lay down like this, and you talk, and you eat, and of course, someone's foot is near your face on that end, but hopefully they had their feet washed before they... But it's so laid back. We don't even know anything about being laid back anymore. I accidentally left my phone on the bus in Israel at the airport. And I thought, in fact, my first response was this: my phone, I left my phone. And then I thought, thank God I left my phone, I left my phone. Took about 4 days to get here. For 4 days, I was able to repose. Do you know how busy we are? No, you don't. You have no idea. We are so on the go constantly, and all these artificial things pulling on us, let alone life itself, and we have forgotten what it's like to repose. And Jesus says, you come to me and you find rest for your soul. Do you have a troubled soul? Are things pressing and crushing in upon your life? If given the opportunity, would you accept Christ to have that removed? That God brings in a rest into your heart? I could tell you about it. I could preach it to you. I could speak to him blue in the face. But until you take of it, you'll never know what it's like to have his rest. And I'm asking you to consider that. Satisfaction. Are people satisfied today? I don't think so. The Lord is our satisfaction. Why? That we might be filled. Filled to the point of satisfaction. Listen to this. Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9 is a great pill to take. It's a great pill to take. Listen. This is serious. You ought to write this down. I personally believe if you practice this verse, I believe many physical situations of your life will begin to dissipate if you just practice this. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Stop right there. Imagine if you were to meditate on God's goodness. When was the last time you were so overjoyed and excited that you could click your heels over God's goodness? And for his wonderful works to the children of men. When was the last time we stopped to meditate on God's wonderful works? Did you see the sun come up today? You're having to suffer through another horrible day outside? God's goodness. Listen, let me tell you something right now. There's a lot of things that you can do to correct a child's life, but when a child is ungrateful, there's nothing you can do. It is hideous. I think it is one of the most detestable things on the planet when a human is no longer thankful for what that human has. And I fear for America. I fear for our blindness because of our great ease. We are living off the residual of the faith of our fathers, and God continues to bless this nation, but for how long, I don't know. And yet, in the midst of all of the blessings, we're not satisfied. I need more money. I need a bigger car.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Resurrection Sunday. We're bringing this series your way in commemoration of Passion Week. In fact, the series is called Finding Jesus in Your Everyday World. Finding Jesus in Your Everyday World. And we're offering it to you on DVD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write, just mention it by name, Finding Jesus in Your Everyday World on DVD. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the button on the right there that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.